Hi, this is Alex Roman, Managing Editor for Metro Magazine, and welcome to Metrospectives, a podcast about public transportation, the private motor coach industry, and all things mobility. Today, my guest is John Ando, Executive Director of Columbia, South Carolina's The Comet. Ando joins me to discuss how his agency is dealing with COVID-19 in an area where public transit is much needed, what it's like managing people during the pandemic, and what the new normal may look like at the Comet. Now my talk with John.
Hello and welcome to Metrospectives. I'm Alex Roman, Managing Editor of Metro Magazine. And my guest today is Executive Director and CEO of the Comet, John Ando. John, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Alex. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah. So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's going on and a little bit what's going on at the Comet specifically. Can you discuss a little bit about like what the status is of the Comet right now, you know, how much service you're running and, you know, some of the steps you're taking to keep everybody safe?
So we're running a Sunday schedule right now. And for the areas that loses fixed route service because we're on a Sunday schedule, we created an on-demand service so those riders can still have access to the fixed route system. We are fare-free. We're doing rear door boarding. We are aggressively cleaning the fleet on a daily basis. We have a full utility staff. We also have a contracted detailing firm that details all the buses daily, so we can ensure that we're keeping people safe. We also are cleaning the buses at Comet Central, which is our downtown transit center, during the middle of the day so that the buses are continuously getting once-overs. And then we're also cleaning our bus stops, which includes bus shelters, bus benches, wall panels, vagrant bars, since our passengers are utilizing those facilities.
Right. And you guys have had, you've been implementing new service and looking at ways to kind of supplement your fixed route to begin with. And I know that nobody has really planned for this, but, you know, how has that kind of planning that you had in place already, you know, kind of impacted your ability to kind of change things on the fly?
Having like our partnerships with Lyft and Uber have helped, especially for those that need nighttime transportation and those that need to get to the grocery store. Since Lyft shared and Uber pool are not available, they're doing single rides only to keep with social distancing.
Right.
We're also looking at seeing how we can expand those partnerships with those TMCs to help us with like essential worker travel when we start getting to capacity issues, because we have cut the capacity on our vehicles in half, and we're trying to get creative at how we can still provide that essential transportation without also breaking our bank, of course.
Right. Yeah, you guys have worked previously with TMCs. You know, what is that situation like right now? How's that partnership developed?
The development has been great with them. I can say that our ridership is not what it used to be previous to COVID-19, but
Right. They
have people are still using those programs, especially for those that need that access to the grocery store.
And what is it like to manage a transit agency during this time? I mean, I know that you have plans in place for emergencies, but you don't have plans in place for a pandemic. What is your perspective of how this has played out from your end?
It's been completely surreal, to be honest. but it's ever-changing. We have to keep paying attention to the governor's executive orders, as well as our local jurisdictions, which is also the city and the county, since the city and the county may sometimes do things differently than what the governor may want to do, or even what our president is doing.
Right.
So try to be flexible to change the operation at moment's notice, flexible to making sure that the customers are aware of what we're doing in advance so that they can plan accordingly, and being able to be flexible with our operations contractor and their personnel, and ensuring that when the services have to change at moment's notice, that they're ready to do so. It's definitely has taught us that we need to ensure that not when we do our safety and emergency plans, that we just can't focus on the traditional emergencies like hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. We also have to have things like a biological issue or like this pandemic that's going on right now,
right,
so that we can be able to respond if this was to ever happen again.
Right, definitely. And you know, as far as being in touch with your operations managers and all those sorts of people that you would normally be on a day-to-day basis, you know, how's that working out with working from home and people not necessarily being on you know, all in the same facility at the same time?
Microsoft Teams has been great for us. So we're able to have still our weekly meetings with the contractor to discuss issues. Our staff, we have our weekly staff meetings in Microsoft Teams. I've given folks the flexibility if they want to work from home or if they want to work in the office or if they want to do both.
Okay.
Since we're viewed as essential, that's why some of us are still coming into the office to work more. And sometimes some of our staff will, like, let's say they work Monday, Wednesday, Friday from home, and then Tuesday, Thursday in the office because they still need resources in our office to perform their jobs.
Right. And so, I mean, can you give me a sense of how many people are still coming into the office and what that kind of feeling is like to be there?
Out of 13 of us, or 12 of us, I would say 4 of us are still coming into the office daily.
Okay.
And even when we're in the office, we're still maintaining social distancing. We still do our meetings through Microsoft Teams. We are not necessarily engaging with each other just so that we can ensure people are being safe. We're also, anyone that's getting sick or the potential of getting sick, we're advising that they stay home and don't even come to the office, or in the case of our contractor, come to work and to operate our buses so we don't expose anyone else.
Right.
Or give the potential to expose anybody.
Right. Yeah, I think out of all of this, I think Zoom and Microsoft Teams is really, really making a big push here. I think, you know, a lot of offices are utilizing those two platforms.
Definitely.
I was wondering, how much contact are you having with your frontline operators, and how have they kind of responded to this situation? I know it has to be troublesome for them.
We have doing a lot of contact. We have every week on social media, we are featuring a different transit worker just to talk about them, thanking them for the service, giving them some praise, and asking our customers to give them the same praise. We're treating them with extra special because they're working in a unique time period. They know that if it wasn't for them, people would not be able to get to where they need to go. So we want to make sure that they're feeling like they're being valued.
Right.
We're also ensuring that they have the necessary protections in place, such as since we're fare free and we're doing rear door boarding, we're separating the operator from the passengers. Our contractor is giving them personal protective equipment. Heck, we've even designed Comet masks to match our paint scheme that we're starting to distribute to our staff this week.
Right.
We worked with our local DOT and got free hand sanitizers that are being provided to not only the customers, but to the operation staff and any equipment that they need to feel safe. We're making sure that it's being provided.
Right.
Transdev has been great with that.
Yeah. And what kind of, what kind of feedback are you getting from those frontline workers? I mean, is there a lot of concern? Are they kind of rallying, to the moment and feel, the importance of what they're doing?
They're rallying to the moment and they feel important with what they're doing. We've not had any significant concerns from the workforce because we've been proactive in advance to keeping them safe.
Right.
And not waiting at the last minute to change. Like, for instance, the detailing, we've always been doing detailing since the start of this contract and the cleaning at our transit center. And we had hand sanitizers on the buses since 2017. So we just got more aggressive once this outbreak was known.
Right. Great. And as far as kind of, maybe wrapping up here, or maybe there's a couple more things, but I mean, is the agency starting to look at the future and like what impact is this going to have on them moving forward?
Yes, our board of directors has formed a COVID-19 ad hoc committee where we meet once a week and we just talk about emerging issues and trends. And part of that discussion is what is the new future of public transit? Because the status quo before COVID-19 is not going to be the norm for the future.
Right.
So if we resume fare collection, how are we going to separate the driver from the passenger? What standards are we going to have to ensure that our buses are continuously clean, our passenger amenities are continuously cleaned? How do we address social distancing or some form of social distancing in the future? Because obviously, crowding conditions on buses is probably not going to be the future norm anymore.
Right.
So, well, what does that cost look like to the transit authority if we were to add more frequency to prevent having standees on buses, for instance,
Right.
if we could go back to just using all 39 seats on a 40-foot bus or 32 seats on a 35-foot bus?
Right. And would you, I mean, do you foresee maybe having a larger fleet to be able to kind of take over the demand and be able to, I guess, kind of pace out that demand?
That's a good question. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when all this is over, and if people will continue to use transit, and how would they use public transit. So we're getting ready to undertake a comprehensive operational analysis. So this timing is appropriate so that we can design that future service, recognizing what has happened within the last couple of months.
Right. And I guess maybe my last question for you, as far as the CARES Act and the big investment in public transit, how is the Comet utilizing those funds and do you feel like it'll be sufficient to kind of get you through this time?
In our case, it will be sufficient since what we're going to do is we're basically going to use the CARES Act funding to cover our operational costs that we pay our operations contractor and any additional costs over and beyond what we pay the contractor to take care of COVID-19. So that's in essence 1 year's cost of operations. That will allow us to defer our local sales tax revenue that we use to fund the transit operation by 1 year, which will buy us an additional year past our sunset date of when we stop collecting sales tax revenues for operations.
Right.
So it's this COVID-19 funding or CARES Act funding really helped us in getting a 1 year extension beyond our sunset date on our sales tax, which allows us to change our sustainability plan a little bit differently.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your time, John. I really appreciate it. Thanks for joining me, and the best of luck to you in the comment.
Thank you, Alex. Really, thank you for inviting me to participate. This was great.
Thanks for listening to Metrospectives, a podcast from Metro Magazine. Be sure to check out all the latest industry news at metromagazine.com or follow us on Twitter at @MetroMagTweet.